to an emergency episode of the Bracket Buddies.
And a dog.
And a dog, if you heard that. Bracket Buddies, the show where we debate random topics bracket style until we somehow arrive at an ultimate winner. My name is Ashton, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Jake. Jake, do you love Star Wars or what?
I love Star Wars so much.
All right, so I'll make this quick. Usually, the topics are random, but the rules are always simple. There are no rules. Every week, we're going to pick a subject out of a hat, except for this week. And our panel of three, made up of Jake, myself, and our weekly guest, will debate who should win in a bracket-style contest. When we get to the bracket, that's when all bets are off. Anybody can take whichever side they want to, and whoever comes out on top, that is final. You know, there are no revotes. But anyway, the reason I say that normally it's random is because it normally is. We try to make this as fun and random as possible, but there has just been so much controversy over this week's topic that Jake and I agreed we had to do a podcast. Not only did we have to do a podcast, but he had to travel 6 hours to be in room with me for the first time in years.
Yeah, that, well, except for, you know, last year. Yeah, it had nothing to do with New Year's Eve, I promise.
So we decided to meet, and instead of recording over the internet, we decided to be in a room together and debate this heated topic, which is, what is the best Star Wars movie? And to help us out with that, we brought in one of my very long-term friends who's helped us in recording in the past, Brad. Brad, hey. Welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. It's been a while.
Have you ever seen a Star Wars movie?
Oh, yeah.
He has seen 3 Star Wars movies, Ashton.
Yeah. All prequels. So we are... as always, we try to do 16 teams, but I'm not patient enough to wait for 16 of these Star Wars movies to come out. So we're going to do 8, which, yes, means we're leaving out Rogue One. I'm more than welcome for you guys to bring Rogue One into your debates, but I wanted to stick with the episodic movies.
The saga.
The Skywalker saga. The rules for this are, if your movie gets a yellow crawl, then you're qualified, and unfortunately Rogue One didn't get one, so sorry, you're out. So we are just going to do 1 through 8, which means that we all have seen, some of us multiple times, The Last Jedi, and again, over the last few days, weeks, however long it's been since you've seen the movie, and however long it takes me to edit this and actually upload it, people are just all over the place on whether this movie was good or not, and so I said, you know, screw it, let's debate that, and while we're at it, as everybody is, let's rank them. But we don't want to just rank them. We want to go bracket style, which is our style, our method of madness. So we came up with a bunch of different ways to try to seed these. And I don't like to just kind of go by the books and by box office numbers. So we just hit random about 5 times. And then we said, fuck it. That's fine. Let's go with this. Let's go with this bracket. So if you guys are ready, unless you have any, you know, other qualifiers you want to put in, I'm ready to get right into this debate.
Let's do it.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. So for our first matchup, again, this is completely random. So, you know, bitch about it as you will. Again, if you'd like to follow along with us and debate, which everybody's doing anyway, you can follow us on Twitter at Bracket Buddies, or you can, which will have this bracket blank. So you can, you know, create your own winner. And you, if you have something that you feel like we should create another emergency podcast for, which we love, that's sarcasm, you can email topics to us on Gmail at bracketbuddies@gmail.com. So,
or you can tweet us.
Or you can tweet us. Either one works. Whichever one we're going to check more, we'll find out. So our first matchup, episode 1 actually is our number 1 seed. Funny enough. So we have The Phantom Menace versus the first movie that was ever made, A New Hope.
1v1.
So, I thought for fun, Brad, you're our guest. Why don't you lead us off? If you had to just say which of these two is better, feel free to just tell us which one, and then we'll go on from there.
I think it's pretty obvious, but you're going to find out through the course of this podcast. I can be a prequel apologist. So it's obvious A New Hope is the winner here. But I think sometimes we should give The Phantom Menace its due. where it is successful, just for, you know, George Lucas's sake. he's had a tough couple of years. Let's you know, he made $4 billion and then
I was gonna say, when you say tough,
yeah. Well, man, I heard
I would really love to have a tough year, man.
I heard that half of that $4 billion was in stock options, and Disney's stock has just risen. So that $4 billion's like six now.
$1,000 billion.
So, yeah. But I mean, honestly, it's not like money means anything to him, because he gives like most of his money to charity anyway. So, but I can understand what you mean.
So, yeah, like I said, I think A New Hope is the definite winner here, but Phantom Menace has arguably the best lightsaber fight. I think the pod race is a modern day chariot race. It's just like Ben-Hur in 1999. I thought that was kind of cool. I loved it when I was a kid. I still think it's kind of exciting now when I watch it. And you know, Qui-Gon Jinn's a pretty cool Jedi. So
yeah,
I think those are some pluses in the Phantom Menace's favor. There are way too many minuses though to even give it a close competition to A New Hope.
So the only thing I have to say is I love the pod racing
game mission.
But my point, I'm just saying, Charleston Heston is rolling in his grave because you compared it to Ben-Hur again. I don't know if he's
pod racing is cooler than chariots, man. I mean, it's working. It's working.
It's two engines, two horses pulling a, you know, pulling a pod, pulling a chariot, you know. It's got a parallel there.
The classic movie nature, I don't think a lot of people will mention Phantom Menace in the same breath that they might with Ben-Hur. But that said, I'm going to agree with you. I'm not going to speak for Jake. I know Phantom Menace is his favorite movie ever.
Yeah. Let me talk on Phantom Menace before we pass this through. You can talk. I want to concur with Brad about basically everything he said. Phantom Menace, despite what everyone says, I think most people would say the prequels are the worst, and a lot of people would say the Phantom Menace is the worst. We'll argue that a little bit later when we get to another matchup, but Phantom Menace does have the best lightsaber battle.
Agreed.
Until maybe something we'll talk about later, but it's definitely top two lightsaber battles, and pod racing is amazing, and Qui-Gon Jinn is also awesome. And I think Phantom Menace gets a little bit of a bad rap, but New Hope is arguably, I mean, we'll talk about it, obviously, but you could definitely argue A New Hope is the best Star Wars movie. So this is very easy.
So I remember that one of the first movies I ever saw with, it was like an opening, like the movie that you saw opening night on, it didn't exist back then, but now it'd be like Thursday at midnight, was Phantom Menace.
No, it's at 7:30.
Well, whatever. I mean, now, but I mean, back then, it didn't exist. It was, you just went on Friday, but you stood in line, and we are of the age, and you can figure this out through multiple podcasts, you can figure out that we're in our late 20s, early 30s, that we were not part of the Star Wars group that dressed up and stood in line for Empire, you know, back in the 80s, but this was the first movie that I witnessed that actually happening, and I can't remember how old I was, but I was dumbfounded. I was like, why are they doing this? I like Star Wars.
I was in Mr. Alonji's class in the fourth grade.
Okay.
So that's when it was. I do remember. We did see the original in theaters, though, because they did re-release them in theaters. So.
Well, you lived in a metropolitan. I did not, so I didn't get that.
Oh, okay. I thought that was everywhere.
Nope. But either way,
you fucking hicks.
I wanted to say, like, this movie gave so much. Like, it was just amazing to see what this was bringing back. And The Force Awakens eventually kind of did the same cycle of, oh my God, it's been years since we've had one of these. What's going to happen? It introduced the double-bladed lightsaber, which blew everyone's mind. I mean, the graphics were, for their time, amazing. The choices they made with the graphics is what ruins the movie, and it doesn't hold up. And of course, I mean, we've gone, you know, 6 minutes without mentioning Jar Jar, which is by himself weighing down this.
Take Jar Jar out, and Phantom Menace is remembered a lot better than
I agree.
Than it is.
It gets so much shit, and I think it's worth saying there are a lot of pros that, I mean, I'm not saying you need to watch Expanded Universe to enjoy a film, but the fact that Darth Maul, amazing villain, cut in half, let's be honest, this eventually becomes a pretty interesting, whether it's in the comics or the TV shows that they made, an interesting enough character that you go, okay, without Phantom Menace, he would not exist. So give enough credit to say Phantom Menace had some pros, but the negatives, as we all agree, by itself, weigh it down. And A New Hope, we will get into, is a fantastic movie. So we're all in agreement. A New Hope moves on.
Yes.
I have one more point about The Phantom Menace. It is the most successful independently financed film of all time.
Was it completely by George Lucas?
George Lucas paid for that film entirely out of his own pocket.
Wow.
Huh. I did not know that.
I didn't know.
And it made, I can't remember, somewhere between $600 and $800 million. Now, there's been other films that have been quote unquote more profitable, like
Iron Man was technically an indie, wasn't it?
No, it was. Marvel Studios itself existed, but it had distribution through Paramount.
Ah, okay.
And so Hulk was through Universal. Yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
Well, to be fair, just based on numbers overall, this is according to Box Office Mojo, but Phantom Menace did make over $400 million. I mean, that's
400 million.
And that's, yeah, I mean, that's crazy. That's the fourth highest grossing out of all of them, and that doesn't, I don't know if that accounts for inflation or whatever, but just that number. And I think a lot of that is because you had generations of people going, all right, I've been dying for the next step, what's going to happen. So I mean, honestly, after that, it's all the new stuff. You have Last Jedi, Rogue One, and Force Awakens. So it's the highest grossing Star Wars box office wise out of all of them until the new stuff. So give it its due. So, but we agree. Now comes the hard stuff. That was easy. Now comes our second matchup, which is our number. Do you want to go down the line, or you want to go to the two seed? I say we go down the line.
Sure.
All right, sorry. I made that messy.
Our seeds don't matter.
Yeah, no, so really it's just arbitrary.
Because it was all random.
It was completely random. So our second matchup is going to be The Empire Strikes Back versus The Force Awakens. So it's time to test your mettle, because now it's tough. One of these movies is constantly in like the top 10 movies of all time. Another one is a highly debated classic or retread. So... Brad, you went first last time. Jake, I want to hear your opinion on these two. And if you just want to kind of give a general opinion,
yeah,
that's fine with me.
Okay. I think you're right about The Force Awakens and that it is I think there's a lot of in the middle, but there's also a lot of hate it or love it with Force Awakens. You know, there's an argument that it is basically a retread of A New Hope. And it is in a lot of ways, but I think it did a fantastic job of bringing Star Wars back. You know, there was a little bit of a sour taste after the prequels, and I think The Force Awakens, despite what you might think about it, at the very least felt like Star Wars. And that was a really great thing. I remember the chill bumps of seeing Star Wars pop up immediately for the first time in years. Empire Strikes Back is, like you said, maybe a top 10 movie of all time. So this is pretty easy. I do think The Force Awakens had a top 3 lightsaber battle in it, as far as the way it looked, kind of the drama of it. It was the first Star Wars movie to use lighted lightsabers during filming.
Okay,
so like you could see the light emitting from it. They did something similar in, I think, Attack of the Clones, but it was just their face, and they just had like flashing lights in front of it, and it looked pretty bad. But they used legitimately lit lightsabers that were battle ready, and it showed, and it looked great in The Force Awakens. Introduced some great new characters. I have always been a Kylo Ren apologist, even though some people thought he was too emo in the first one. But I mean, Empire is Empire.
All right, so I'll let you go. I want to go next because I went last time, so I don't want to just wrap up every one of these. I'm with you. Empire has so many positives. I mean, just the fact alone that films, their sequels usually are called, like, okay, they're empiring this. Like, that's amazing by itself. But so, because I'm going to agree with you, I want to talk about some of the pros of The Force Awakens. I don't know how many years it had been since a Star Wars film, but I think, weird enough, Jake, you and I are
and Brad, you're so close in age to us, you may agree. We're like in the perfect age that we got to enjoy what our parents enjoyed with the originals. We were young enough to be subjugated to the prequels and still like them because we kind of liked them.
Yeah.
And then now we get to bitch about them as adults. And then we grew up and got to enjoy what Star Wars should be, which is in this new saga. And although it was very, especially upon rewatching, because I'm not that smart seeing it the first time, but it is very rehashing A New Hope, almost hilariously.
But, I think there's enough differences to, as far as the story beats, that it's not as big of a deal as some people make it. But the ultimately, there's a Death Star, they have to destroy it, and
there's a trench run.
It's very similar.
There's a desert planet.
Yeah. The new characters is what got me, and the new actors they found, very, very similar to how they did the original, where they found, I'm not going to say no names because Harrison Ford wasn't a no name, but people who weren't, you know, your Brad Pitts or something like that. And the characters they found, Daisy Ridley, who plays Finn?
John Boyega.
And the guy who plays Finn has been in stuff, but it's weird. It's not like the biggest stars that we've ever had. And they fill these roles that were enough that we recognize them in this universe, but different enough that you like them, but you still found attachment with them. They did a great job of presenting a female lead that was strong, and I believed in it. And I like this universe that they've created. And of course, you know, J.J. Abrams had a massive task to try to fill. I mean, I never thought that they would do this. And then when they announced it, I was like, oh, this is gonna be tough. And I thought, especially compared to the prequels, I think he knocked it out of the park from what could have happened. So major props. And again,
it was very safe, but it was exactly what Star Wars needed.
Thank you, Jake. That's exactly right. And they did enough to push the story forward, and they invented a new lightsaber. I'm always big on that.
Yeah, as unpractical as it is, but
totally ridiculous. But visually, that's all I care about. It made me go in the trailer when I saw it. I went, ooh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
So Brad, I'm sorry, we are moving Empire on, but I'd love to hear your opinion.
I'll be able to go quick. When they announced the release date for Force Awakens, I was at work. I immediately shot my boss an email. This was back in April that year, 2015. I immediately shot my boss an email saying, I need that day off from work. And got the vacation. I saw it at a 8:45 a.m. showing that morning.
Whoa.
I'm too old for this midnight showing bullshit. But I didn't want to see it. I couldn't wait any longer.
Oh, man, so I went to 7:30 on Thursday. Reserve seating. I showed up 5 minutes before the movie started. It was amazing.
good old Atlantic Station, wasn't it?
It was Parkway Point.
Get it. You live in Atlanta. Yeah.
But I thought Force Awakens was amazing. Saw it twice in theaters. But yeah, all the critiques that people have about the film, I think they're more or less accurate. I think people were, and we'll get into this more when we talk about Last Jedi, but I think people were looking for things to nitpick and latched onto them so hard. So yeah, it's kind of a retread of A New Hope, but there's worse movies you could retread.
True. I mean, yeah,
absolutely. New Hope's a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
So I loved it. Empire is definitely a fantastic film. Classic lines. Classic new characters. They introduced new characters there. We got Lando, we got Boba Fett, we finally got to see the Emperor.
Yeah.
And so I think just Empire is just too strong in this bracket, so I think Empire wins. I agree.
So before we go on, and we'll get into this in The Last Jedi, but don't go into the specifics, but are you one of those people that when you saw The Force Awakens you had a million questions that you wanted to answer yourself? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I could not give less of a shit.
I am with you. I was so just good. Excited for Star Wars. I did not care.
There is, speaking about Atlanta, there is a fantastic a YouTube channel, if you allow like a quick shout out, called Star Wars Explained, and it's hosted by a guy who lives here in Atlanta. And
I did not know that. I actually have seen that. I didn't know he was there.
Yeah, he's great. And just recently he was wearing a shirt that said, I think it said like, "Your Snoke theory sucks." And that's been my whole thing, is like, okay, I mean, there's questions, but I don't care what the answer is. I don't even necessarily care that they got answered. So I think, like you said, when we get to Last Jedi, I think we'll get into this more.
Yeah, we'll talk we'll talk about it more when we get to Last Jedi, but we'll talk about it then. But I agree with you.
But my point was, seeing the next phase of this whole thing, I just wanted to know, based on our age, because we had seen, the stages where younger people are just getting Star Wars maybe for the first time. I was just interested to see what your mentality was, because I'm one of those people who does want to know everything, and I'll get into that when we move on. It will be two rounds for now, but I was just curious. So we will move on. It's funny, so far we have two original trilogy movies moving on, so we are going to move on to two prequels that have to fight each other, which I'm excited for this battle, because I think I'm in the minority on this, but maybe I'm wrong.
This could not be easier for me.
Well, I know. So we're going to move on to, again, our totally random seeds. Our number two seed, Revenge of the Sith versus Attack of the Clones. You want me to go out?
You can go.
I'll go first.
Mine's going to be quick, but we'll let you go first because we've already gone first.
All right. I'm going to say my piece, and then I may change my mind, because I've seen the original trilogy probably 100 times combined. The prequels, maybe a dozen times, because I was younger when they came out. But I have a weird fascination with Attack of the Clones, because it had so many scenes in it that blew my mind. Just like Phantom Menace with the double-bladed lightsaber, Attack of the Clones brought on the scene in the Coliseum with, 50 Jedi. And my brain blew up. I was like, are you kidding me? There's, a million of them, and they're having, they're all different species. They're not just white dudes. You got Mace Windu with his purple lightsaber. You have Jango Fett, which was like the actual Boba Fett we were waiting for. There's so many things on it. And then when I saw Revenge of the Sith, there were, trust me, some great stuff in it. The opening scene with the space battle, the fight scene with Obi-Wan and Anakin, all of it. But when I started doing the pros and cons, I actually found myself liking Attack of the Clones more. So I'm going to vote for Attack of the Clones, and I'm ready for you guys to sway me, because I know I'm in the minority here.
All right, who's going first, me or Brad?
I'll jump in. I'm gonna do some pros for Attack of the Clones. Like you said, there's that Coliseum scene, so that's George Lucas doing Spartacus. I mean, he did Ben-Hur, now he's doing Spartacus, just like he wanted to do Indiana Jones was his, callback to all the old serials and Flash, Star Wars is Flash Gordon. So.
Yeah, Star Wars itself is a callback.
Yeah, so there's some good stuff in there. And of course, if you'll allow me a moment of misogyny, Natalie Portman looked hot.
You're allowed.
<there's>,
the council allows it.
There is a really interesting storyline that is, it's Obi-Wan's storyline of that. It's a mystery. And Lucas doesn't quite nail it. But it's like there's a frame of something there that's really cool. And it gets ruined by the Anakin and Padme storyline.
Okay.
I will give the Anakin and Padme storyline one major prop, which is the love theme that John Williams writes for them.
Okay.
It's so good, because it's in the minor key, and it's this, you can just feel the lilting, like it's so close to being a love theme, and then it goes, goes dour, and I think it's fantastic. But the Coliseum scene's great. We get to see the clone troopers fighting the battle droids in that awesome completely CG scene, which I thought was great
for the time. Amazing.
And then that scene with the clone troopers and the battle droids, and it's like, it's this huge dust covering, and you could just barely make out the outlines of the droids and the troopers, but the red and blue blaster bolts just flying by was such a cool scene. And then they had to ruin it all with a saber fight with Anakin and Obi-Wan and Dooku and then Yoda, which was just might be the worst lightsaber fight.
It's not.
All things considered.
It's
not.
It's bottom three for sure.
But all that said, Revenge of the Sith is one of my sneaky favorites. Like when we get, we'll probably get to this some more, but like I really, really like Revenge of the Sith. Starship scene is amazing. For a film called Star Wars, we don't get enough wars in the stars, and for them to open with that opening battle shot, and they, you know, they talk about how they threw everything and the kitchen sink into that battle, and they mean that literally. They literally put a kitchen sink floating in the background.
I did not know that.
So, I didn't know that either. But save your Revenge of the Sith stuff, because I'm absolutely pushing that through. Ashton loses.
Oh, darn. Like always, I lose. All right, let's go.
You did talk about space battles, and it reminds me that I'm a little bummed that Rogue One is not in this, because Rogue One had, by far and away, I think, the best space battle of any Star Wars movie. Anyway, moving on. Attack of the Clones does not have a single redeeming quality.
Wow.
Not one. It is by far and away the worst Star Wars movie. Wow. Worse than Phantom Menace, and is not close to me.
Oh my god. There's
every single thing that is possibly good about Attack of the Clones. Like, you're talking about the Colosseum scene. I rewatched this recently because my wife and I rewatched all the Star Wars movies leading up to The Last Jedi.
Because you're big on torturing her.
Yeah, she had never seen the prequels, so we watched them. The Colosseum scene looks horrible.
It doesn't hold up?
No, it looks terrible. And you say all these Jedis pop up, they come up like popping, like, so if you and I made YouTube videos of like trying to look like Jedis with like target lightsabers, that's exactly what we would look like with really terrible makeup.
Okay, I totally have not done that ever before. Okay, maybe I have.
They look like George Michael trying to fight lightsabers.
And they're obviously like copy and pasted into that blue screen background.
Yeah, it's bad. It is so bad. And the fight between Jango and Obi-Wan is one of the worst on-screen fights I've ever seen.
Really?
It looks terrible. Like, at one point, Jango Fett, like, hangs onto a building and, like, turns into Blastoise from Pokemon and, like, shoots a rocket out of his back. And I don't even know how to describe it. It's the worst looking thing I've ever seen. Obi-Wan does this drop kick thing that
his hands are tied.
No, his hands are not tied at this point. Tied. He loses his lightsaber and he does it like a karate kick. His hands
are tied with the Jango Fett's. I'm what you're talking
about.
I'm telling
you, it looks okay. Horrendous.
You're done.
I'm not done. I want to tear this movie apart. It's so bad. You can't cut me off.
Oh my god.
It's the only time I get to talk about this. Everyone says Phantom Menace is
the worst.
The worst. Everyone says Phantom Menace is the worst. Attack of the Clones is by far and away the worst. The storyline between Anakin and Padme is maybe the worst on-screen chemistry I've ever seen.
I agree with you on that. I agree.
The mystery, while in theory is cool, like, can you really, like, the plot? There is no plot to Attack of the Clones. Like, it's just filler shit.
Okay, I mean,
there's not a real plot to Attack of the Clones. And then it ends with, and I don't think the lightsaber battle at the end is the worst. Like Brad was saying, I will defend it on that. I was a kid when it came out. I actually thought it was awesome when Yoda started doing like parkour around the little cave. It does look really bad when they just like wave lights in front of their faces.
Yes.
And Christopher Lee was like 1,000 years old. So, you know, I'll give them.
And they definitely photoshopped his face. On.
Yeah, I'll give them credit on that. But other than that, you know what? It does have one redeeming quality, and that's it does have a pretty cool land battle that I think. There's not a lot of good ones in Star Wars, like legit the battle where the
Geonosha scene that he's talking about. Okay,
not the Colosseum. I'm talking about after that. Where there's like tanks and stuff fighting things. I think that actually is kind of cool. It still bothers me like crazy that they CGI'd all the clone troopers when they could easily have at least a few people running around in costumes. There's not a single clone trooper that is an actual human being, and that is pointless. It was just hubris on George Lucas's part saying, oh, I'm gonna CGI all this, I'm just gonna look great. I'm gonna stop because I'm ranting, Attack of the Clones is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Oh my god. All right,
and is by far the worst Star Wars movie.
I'm gonna counter rant. All right, problem with Lucas and a lot of the stuff he's done to the original trilogy and Phantom Menace is what he's done with CG. One thing I thought he did well actually was the clone troopers, because they're so generic that the CGI thing he did versus the very must CGI aliens they were fighting and the robots, I thought worked well.
Okay, but I think the key to CGI, to making it good, is mixing it with practical and only using it when you need to. And why do you put a face on a CGI body when you can just have a person in a costume and it look better? Like, why CGI it other than just, I can CGI it, so I should CGI it? That's,
well, I mean,
stupid.
He's CGIing an entire army. I mean,
right, when it's an entire army, it makes sense. I'm talking about when it's just one clone trooper on the just screen, it's there? Still CGI. Right. Why?
Okay. Brad, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, I think it goes to what we were talking about a little bit before in the Colosseum when they've got the Jedi, like, it's so obvious that they're, like, pasted in. Like, they've got, you know, actual, you know, human beings, you know, doing their, you know, they might be in makeup or something, but they're doing the fight choreography, but they're doing it against nothing because they don't have actual there also, to pretend to deflect.
Why do you go through so much trouble for the makeup on the Jedi, but not have a single human clone trooper? Like, the Jedi models cool. I mean, some of it looks bad, but the models are cool because they legitimately tried to take people and make them these alien characters, and I think I give credit for that.
I think also you got to get, like, with the clones being clones, they're going to have to either, it's going to be some level of CG anyway, even if it's a guy in the suit, because he's going to have to be in the suit in a dozen different places. And it's just that's going to be noticeably weird looking.
Yeah, that's fair. Anyway, we're pushing Revenge of the Sith through. Attack of the Clones is horrible.
All right, I'm going to defend it because I'm going crazy here. I'm listening to everything you're saying, but here's the things. Again, our age group, when this came out, there was a trailer when Yoda flipped out a lightsaber and I exploded. I was like, I didn't even know it was possible. He had a tiny little lightsaber. I didn't really, the flipping, yes, that was bad. And Christopher Lee, God bless him. But that was bad. The fact that Anakin held two different colored lightsabers, the visuals of that was amazing. Yes, when it got close up,
hey, you know,
I was
what?
Like, whoa,
I gave credit. I gave credit to that scene. I did.
The flipping, I didn't, I do think in hindsight, I'm like, why is everybody flipping in this? And eventually it leads to Revenge of the Sith, which I'll denigrate that because the Emperor, who's like a 90 million year old guy, is also flipping around like it's no big deal. It looks very plasticky, you know, or, you know, toyish. I will grant you that when all the Jedi are together in the Colosseum, yes, the copy paste thing looks a little bad. But when you have the scene where they're tied up and you have them fighting the different kind of giant creatures, I loved that scene. I thought that was so cool. I thought the intro stuff with Jango, because who is the most, maybe the most overrated character in cinema history?
Captain Phasma.
She's now the second most, but she only exists because Boba Fett existed in the original trilogy. Jango Fett gave us a character that delivered on so many things. And why did he fire a rocket? Because Boba Fett never fucking fired his rocket.
Because it's not a rocket. It's just the top of his jetpack.
If you played Bounty Hunter, it's a rocket, okay? I'm saying
It's a callback to the original Boba Fett toy with the rocket that would pop out that. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right.
Which is proof.
Which goes for
fine.
Like,
I did not know that. Fine.
All right,
it looked really bad, though.
Fine. Again, I'm not saying in hindsight, like, going back, we'll never. I mean, Jurassic Park might be the only film that looks good now that looked good then.
You know what? I am going to cut you off because I do want to give defense to Attack of the Clones. I actually do really like that, like, first chase scene.
Yeah.
On Coruscant. I actually do
with
like
the
that
car?
Scene.
Or
it starts out very optimistic, where I'm like, hey, this might not be that bad, and then it turns to shit. But I will say that scene's pretty good with Jango and that other bounty hunter when they're chasing
and the changeling,
yeah, and then the scene and the like the kind of bar,
yeah,
that's actually pretty good.
All right,
it then goes to shit, but other
I'm gonna say
is Attack of the Clones the one that has like a 50s diner?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. That is the worst piece of anachronism in a Star Wars movie.
Yes,
by far.
I agree with that, and I'll agree with you that this needs to move on. That we need to move on because Anakin, as Christian hated, what's his name?
Hayden Christensen.
Whatever his name is. His acting is so bad in this that it really does bring it down. If I read this as a book, I think it would be a really, really good story. The acting brings it down so much.
I think you could say about the whole prequel trilogy. I think it's the dialogue writing more than the acting. But we'll get to that later. It's fine.
And I'm gonna bring up one of my major points about the prequels coming up, but we're gonna move on. I'm sorry for railing on this, but I'm one of the only people I've met that wants to try to defend Attack of the Clones, but
it's really bad. The only good thing out of Attack of the Clones is the Clone Wars cartoon series.
It wouldn't exist without this movie.
Anyway, let's move on.
Our fourth round of the first round. I'm so sorry, guys.
God, we're still in the first round.
Oh boy, we'll move on faster. Probably not. We're gonna attack some Jedi's here. So we've got Return of the Jedi versus The Last Jedi. And I'm going to sit back and watch you guys explode.
I don't know who should start on this one because this one's very tough for me.
Jake, I want you to start.
But I am interested to... I know Ashton's view on The Last Jedi. I don't know Brad's. The whole point of this podcast is because we've been online and we've just seen a huge disparity between people that have seen The Last Jedi. Either you loved it or you hated it is really the way it seems. I'm in the love, side of this, and that I left Star Wars The Last Jedi and I loved it. And when I got online and saw that some people legit, not just didn't like it, like legitimately hated it, it blew my mind because I did not understand it. And, I'm really okay with people disagreeing with me, but I don't understand the hate for this. I really, really loved it. Having said that, Return of the Jedi before The Last Jedi, I think I would say is my favorite Star Wars movie. And a lot of people don't agree with me on that. And I might have to turn into Ashton on this and defend Return of the Jedi because it's my favorite Star Wars movie. And I have a really hard time deciding this one because I really, really, really loved The Last Jedi. It was everything I wanted in a Star Wars movie. I think the throne room scene with Kylo and Rey is the best lightsaber fight we've seen in Star Wars. The hyperspace scene where she goes through the dreadnought.
Spoiler alert.
I mean,
I'm just kidding.
All spoiler alert, right? That was amazing. It was amazing. The whole, I was there opening night and I heard just the crowd go, and when you hear that in a crowd, like it's not the obnoxious kind of noise that you hear in a theater. It's the, like, that was incredible. Like, that was something that people are going to remember years down, is that scene. See around, kid, I thought was a perfect last line for Luke. You know, Han said that to him at one point, right? I think. Am I correct? That's who he said it to.
Yes.
I thought it was just a really great... You know, we saw Luke do the most impressive feat in Force usage history, whereas, like, in the prequels, Force usage is basically jumping really high.
And lifting rocks,
I guess. But in this, he projects himself across the galaxy, and, like, some people are mad, I guess, that he didn't have an insane lightsaber fight, but I think it's far more impressive what he did to go out. Really, really love The Last Jedi, and I would honestly put it in my top three. But I still, Return of the Jedi is maybe my favorite movie. And so this is very hard for me. I'm going to sit back and wait and listen to what y'all say, just because part of me, and I think the main part, is I kind of want to keep debating The Last Jedi. But, like, everything I know as a Star Wars fan is that Return of the Jedi was my favorite movie growing up and still kind of is. So I want to hear y'all talk, and then I'll vote.
And what's funny is we could do this entire episode on just debating back and forth on The Last Jedi, but I didn't want to do that because everybody's doing that. So I wanted to do our formula to see if we could come up with reasoning why this is a good or a bad movie. So Brad, I'm interested to hear your thoughts, because I don't know. Jake and I have talked off screen about just the controversy and what did we feel about the movie. And I don't know which way Jake's going to go, but I know how he feels about both of these movies. But I have no idea about you. So, you know, what would you say this matchup?
This is a really tough matchup. I've seen The Last Jedi twice. I saw it opening Friday, and then I saw it again to go. So it's fresh in my mind. Getting to see it a second time allows me to like look at it a little more critically and not just stare and wonder. I loved it. I think it's an amazing film. I think it has a lot of when Kevin Smith reviewed it, he said that The Last Jedi is full of what he calls fuck you, JJ moments.
Yes.
where it takes all these mysteries and questions that JJ sets up in Force Awakens and says, it doesn't matter, fuck you, JJ. You know, so
you know what, I do.
We find out about Rey's heritage.
I do want to talk about that. And that, okay. I think the biggest problem with The Force Awakens, and I think J.J. Abrams did a great job with The Force Awakens, but I think the biggest problem with that is that J.J. Abrams is in love with the mystery box. Where he wants to, and it happened in Lost. And I love Lost. I don't know if you did, Brad.
I've never seen an episode of Lost.
Okay. Well, in Lost, and really anything J.J. Abrams... he really likes to set up a lot of things. And the problem with Star Wars is that in the sequels, they tried to do something similar to the original trilogy where they had new people come in and write each thing. Like it wasn't all planned out before it started. And J.J. Abrams set up so many mysteries. And there was no possible way that anything was going to satisfy, because we spent 2 years theorizing about the answers to these mysteries. And that's something Ashton kind of talked about earlier. And I really think J.J. Abrams set up Rian Johnson to fail in that regard, and that he really had no chance to answer those questions without someone being pissed. And I think that's where a lot of the controversy comes from. I am sorry to
interrupt, and I agree.
I think that needed to be said.
Yeah, I agree. And one of the interesting things I learned after the film came out was that Rian Johnson's script was already completed before The Force Awakens came out in theaters. Like he wasn't writing in response to the fans. He had already written it.
That's insane.
And it would already
Read the script of Force Awakens. He just hadn't seen the movie.
I'm just saying, but that's he had incredible. Read the script. Like, I'm not saying bad on him.
Well, I mean, he had 2 years to make a movie, so you have to know what your building blocks are before you start.
And I heard that the only change he requested was that he wanted R2 to be on the Falcon at the end instead of BB-8.
Yeah, I saw that.
So he wanted to do that, the R2 and Luke scene.
The Obi-Wan scene.
Right. And so, I think you're right, Jake, where it was, that's where a lot of the controversy is, and I think what it comes down to is it's more of like an overarching thing that going on in fandom as a whole. And it doesn't even matter what the fandom is. It could be a fandom for Star Wars. It could be a fandom for Steven Universe. It could be a fandom for Call of Duty. And it's that people just take this shit way too seriously these days. The fact that there's a petition to have the film have The Last Jedi removed from the canon just tells you how nuts people are about this. And it's a movie, and we're having we're critiquing these things and we're having a good time. We don't want anyone to lose their job. We don't want anyone to
Star Wars fans have always been bad. I mean, they pretty much ruined Jake Lloyd's life. Like, literally.
And, you know, it wasn't
all the way.
Not shocking that they are acting this way over a Star Wars movie.
And well, I think it's interesting too, because I think when Ashton, what you were saying, like we're at this, you know, the three of us are at this like certain age where it kind of all coalesced together, and we, I think in general, we all just love Star Wars. And the it was the people older than us that were like, George Lucas ruined my childhood. You know, there was even a documentary called The People Versus George Lucas, where they, you know, talked about how the, you know, the prequels ruined Star Wars for people. And I think the, I think there's fans that are younger than us that were even younger when the prequels came out, and then even more so with the Clone Wars cartoon and now Rebels, who are saying, you know, this trilogy is their first trilogy. And they're taking it way too seriously. Where a lot of the breakdown is like, and so we're in this sweet spot where we're like, hey, we enjoyed the prequels for what they were. They were more Star Wars. Hell, I even saw the Clone Wars movie that where they took like the first two episodes and put them together into an hour long, or like an 80 minute long movie and showed in theaters. I even went to that. So, you know, I don't care so much whether these things get answered. I don't care so much whether you know, we find out who's Rey's parents are, or why Snoke is such a badass, or any of these things. I'm just glad there's more Star Wars.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And so when it comes to The Last Jedi, I loved The Last Jedi. I thought it was great that, like a lot of the critiques I've seen have been people saying how, I think that Kylo Ren was lying to Rey and telling her that her parents were nothing. Seeing the movie a second time, it's Rey who says her parents were nobodies.
Yeah.
And he and Ben and, you know, and Kylo just confirms it. Or
I think this is a movie that really benefits multiple viewings.
Oh, definitely.
Because I think the biggest negative for me the first time I saw it was the casino kind of
chase
and all that. And I still don't like it, I will say. I don't think it's great. I think Rose is a pretty weak character, and they didn't maybe give Finn enough to do. I think it might have been more interesting if he and Poe were on that. And that's just because I don't think Rose was written that well. But that scene, that whole story arc is actually pretty short, and it actually doesn't detract as much as I thought initially. But, you know, Ashton, I want to hear what you have to say on all this.
Well, I want to kind of bring it back to the competition, because I agree with everything you guys are saying. Brad, no offense, I was really hoping you would fucking hate The Last Jedi so that there'd be some argument here, but we're all kind of on the same page where, and it might, it's weird. I wish when there was, where we're hearing these detractors and the craziest thing is what you mentioned, these people who are literally petitioning for this to be out of canon. Like that's insane. Like not that this movie should be out of canon, just the fact that people are banding together for a movie that cost hundreds of millions of dollars and is making hundreds of millions of dollars should not be relevant.
It's the second highest grossing opening weekend of all time.
It blows my mind. Just the fact. I'm not don't even say what movie or franchise it's for. Just that exists is crazy. So I'm gonna agree with you on a lot of your takes, and I'm the battle that we have here. And I say battle because this competition is fierce, because like Jake, I love Return of the Jedi. When I originally, and why I want to, we've been talking about The Last Jedi a lot, but Return of the Jedi was actually one of the first I watched Star Wars, the original trilogy, pretty much back to back, but this is closer to when I was born and when I started watching these. And when Luke whipped out the green lightsaber for the first time,
yes.
I was so freaking R2-D2 excited. R2-D2
shoots it out. Ugh.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. You talk about Padme or, you know, whatever her name is. But Princess Leia in the slave costume. I mean, that's hot in the 90s. That was.
It's a little weird watching it when you're older. And you
when you're older.
That it's kind of fucked up.
I'm agreeing with you now. But then that as a kid, I was like, oh boy, what is, I mean, this is everything as a kid I wanted. I wanted the action, the sex appeal, the Luke is a badass now. He's no longer a whiny brat from Tatooine. I mean, it was everything. It was Darth Vader. It was the Emperor. It was Lando was even better. Han was alive. I mean, you never even knew if that was going to happen growing up, but it was everything
Luke
about it.
Force chokes a person.
And then the Ewoks come in. As much as I don't hate the Ewoks, I don't. They really do burden the movie upon rewatch. And The Last Jedi, they introduced their version of it, which is these like flying penguins.
Come
things.
On, it's completely different.
I'm saying, no, I have to cut that off. They're both
Ewoks
designed to sell toys.
Okay,
am
yeah,
I wrong?
But Ewoks, first of all, I don't know why I'm defending this because I love both of them. Porgs
like
and Ewoks. I have no problem with Ewoks. I love them. And I realize I'm in the minority, but the difference between Ewoks and Porgs is that Ewoks actually matter to the plot and the story. And I can understand the idea that a bunch of sticks and rocks can defeat these amazing empire machines, whereas the Porgs are literally just there because almost as comic relief, and
they're
literally
animals.
Only there because there were puffins on the island. And it was cheaper to create a bird character than digitally remove them from the island. That's literally why they exist. And so it's completely different in that the Ewoks are a huge part of the plot and the Porgs are just there.
I'm with you. But my point is, that's the way to do it. If you make a crazy character that is so, like, let's go to the extreme. Well, there's two extremes and that are, I think, equal. You have the Gungans, which were annoyingly digital made up characters, but they were essential to the plot. You have the Ewoks, which are practical, kind of, I won't say annoying, but I'll say goofy, but essential to the plot. Then you have the Porgs, which are digital, non-essential, cute, everything about it. When I do my balancing of the pros and cons, I'm going to give the advantage to the Porgs, which my point is, I love Return of the Jedi. I really do. I think everything about it is a lot of people say, what's the best trilogy? But the third act is never good enough. And usually the second isn't good enough. But this one, the third, was fantastic. The Ewoks are the only minor negative, along with Boba Fett just completely going out like a bitch. So because of that, and we'll get into why I think if The Last Jedi moves on, why I love The Last Jedi so much, but I'm letting The Last Jedi move on from this because there's so many more pros in this movie, which I hope it moves on, because I could talk for hours on why I love The Last Jedi. That's my pick. I don't want to talk anymore. Jake, you want to wait more?
I want to hear Brad's vote, right,
Brad,
because I'm really hoping I don't actually have to make this decision. We need an actual Brad.
We're okay. Running long, so what do you think?
Growing up, Empire was my favorite. And it still is my favorite. But Return of the Jedi has grown on me as I've gotten older. And I think if I'm going to have to cast a vote and be the deciding vote, it's going to be for Jedi.
Which one?
They're both Jedi.
More specific.
Whoa.
Yeah. No, that's just Jedi. I'm picking Jedi. No. Return of the Jedi. I think Return of the Jedi is...
Fuck you, Brad. I don't want to make
better film
decision.
So, everything about Return of the Jedi is just better and better and better from the films before it. Of course, you guys are probably aware originally, it wasn't supposed to be Ewoks. It was supposed to be Wookiees. But Lucas could not find enough tall people. And was able to find plenty of little people. but also, the combined, that just that, la- that third act of Return of the Jedi is so good. From it's a trap to, you got that combined, you got the battle in space, the battle on the ground, and you got the battle between father and son. And that's so entertaining. It's moving. It's just fantastic. And Last Jedi has some fantastic moments in it that we talked about. You know, the fight with Kylo and Rey. working together, which I contend is not a lightsaber fight because they never fight with their lightsabers.
It doesn't matter. It
was they awesome. Used to. But yeah, it was awesome. And there's
it was know, also the first time we've ever seen a royal guard do anything.
Yeah,
was,
other than get thrown to the side.
Right.
Brad, it was quick, awesome. Did you have a problem with in Return of the Jedi the fact that Harrison Ford did not want to be there? And it shows.
I don't think it
shows. I think it definitely shows.
Watch. Harrison Ford never wants to be anywhere.
I think what's amazing about
Harrison
it.
Harrison Ford to be like indifferent, then just don't watch the movie.
I think what's cool with him is that it fits Han's character a little bit. You know, he's supposed to be this. You know, it goes back to like you know his smuggler character before he got involved with the whole rebellion, which was I'm just in it for me. And that's why you know if Harrison Ford didn't want to be in the film, he was just in it for the paycheck. That sounds like a Han thing to do.
I totally get that, but can we agree that surprisingly he was really good in The Force Awakens?
Yeah, I've seen some people say he phoned it in. I don't think that at all. I think he gave it his full.
Because he knew he was going to be out. And
Harrison Ford is like the definition of a cranky old man. He like
yes.
I've really like grown to dislike his performances in movies in his older age because he is not enjoyable to watch. And I think he brought it back in The Force Awakens.
I thought he did too. But
so, but we point being is we're down to Return of the Jedi and The Last Jedi, and we really need to move on.
All right, fine.
So I'm going to decide my vote.
All right, Brad, are you saying you're going with Return of the Jedi? So we're at 1-1.
I'm going Return of the Jedi.
All right, Jake.
Since I have to make a vote, this breaks my heart because Jedi Luke is my favorite thing I've ever seen on TV or like on a movie screen ever. I made my mom go all over town multiple times looking for a Jedi Luke action figure, and I think she ended up having to buy like a full-on set just so it would have a Jedi Luke in it.
I really want to know, does it have Luke, karate chop action?
I don't know, but Luke showing up in the all black, force choking people, green lightsaber is amazing. I will say that one of the biggest debates on The Last Jedi is, well, that's not my Luke, he wouldn't do that. He force choked a guy in Return of the Jedi. And he was full of anger when he was full of anger when he fights Darth Vader. It is absolutely in his personality to make bad decisions. So, for the sake of debate, I'm gonna push The Last Jedi through because I want to talk about it more. But it breaks my heart. I think Return of the Jedi is top three by far. It kind of makes me sick that Revenge of the Sith is making it further than Return of the Jedi.
I'm gonna keep pushing Revenge of the Sith too.
That's the way the bracket works. So let's just do it and continue on, and let's go to our next round.
Let's move on, and we try to do this. We're gonna take a quick
also break. Wedge is the best pilot in Star Wars, and he shows it in Return of the Jedi, and he doesn't get enough love. But we'll talk about that when we talk about Star Wars ships, which has not aired yet.
True. Well, by this point, it might have, but maybe. I agree. Wedge was at every major battle, so he's the ship.
I have lots to talk about when we get to the ship debate. All right, but
so we're
going to
take
right
a very quick break because this is already running long, and we'll be back with our final four. We'll be right back after this.
Hey listeners, this is Ashton. This episode took way longer than I expected, so rather than just make you sit through a 2-hour long podcast on Star Wars, I thought I'd go easy on you guys and split it up into two parts. So the first round of matchups are over. Episode 2 of this podcast will be out tomorrow, so please be on the lookout for that for the, I guess, Final Four and the Finals, which I thought wouldn't take as long, but this is a very important topic, so the debates were fierce. So thank you for listening. Please check out the next episode, which I believe will be out tomorrow. You can find all of our episodes on iTunes. We're now on Google Play and Stitcher. So please check us out. Tell your friends. We appreciate if you'd rate and review us. That helps a ton. So until next episode, see you later. Bye.